This episode of The Instance is brought to you by Nat Pagel's Power Bait. When you need a wish just to catch a fish, try Nat Pagel's Power Bait. The bait that don't make you wait.
Murlocs, meet the Murlocs. They're a scary monster family. From the World of Warcraft, they can walk on land or in the sea. Don't play with the family down the street who looks at you like a piece of meat. When you're with the Murlocs, you'll never get bored. You'll need a good sword. You'll do it for the horde.
Hey, Scott Mangrove. Man, I'm speaking like Scott today. I think I'll start over.
You're listening to The Instance.
Heal my flesh.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Instance. A week late, but never a dollar short. This is The Instance number 33, your favorite World of Warcraft podcast. Here once again to shower your ears with just good old-fashioned World of Warcraft goodness. On the line with me, as always, is Andrew from Florida. Andrew, hello.
Hello.
How's things? You're talking to us from Skype, but you're talking to us from a temporary computer. As many people who've read the forum, not the forum, the main website know, you are switching to a super heavy-duty powered Mac Pro here shortly, and you'll be back in the WoW game before you know it.
Yep, my machine died about a week ago, and I've had Apple laptop, an iBook, and an iMac like jerry-rigged together. So I can one of them's too old to run Skype, and I can't upgrade the operating system to get Skype on it. So I got Skype on the laptop with the headset, and then I have the other machine with the show notes and everything on it.
Well, that's good, though. See, look, you're multitasking, truly multitasking. But soon you'll be all back up in shape, and we want to say sorry to everybody for the delay in show, but we just couldn't figure this was going to happen. Plus, there was a holiday last week. Things are just nuts. But enough apologies. Let's jump right into the news of the week. And you know what? We're so happy to be your main source for World of Warcraft news, rumors, and views that we just want to thank you again. We noticed that we are up in the 250 or so range reviews on iTunes, which is awesome. And we're just happy to have that. If you guys get a chance and you haven't done so, drop us a review there if you feel like it. We'd be always glad to read those. And thanks again for all that and for being such great fans. Let's jump to the big news of the week. Found an article off Slashdot, and it talked about the success of World of Warcraft as a business model and the influx of investor capital into the MMO market in general. The interesting thing is this, and this is what the writer said, or the person that sent us this, said, the interesting thing I found was that the writer finally flat out says what we consumers have already known. WoW is so popular because Blizzard did it right from the start. What do you think about his thoughts and kind of generally what does Andrew think about Blizzard's success, and what is it they did at the start to make things right?
Well, one of the things I think that helped them tremendously is they waited for so long.
Yeah.
A lot of people, when they first announced there's going to be a World of Warcraft online game and stuff, everyone's like, you're too late in the market. EQ's there, you got Ultima Online, you got all these other ones cropping up, you'll never make it.
Yeah.
But one of the reasons they waited is they wanted to do it right. That's like one of the things they always say with all their games. You know, our game will be out when it's done right. First and foremost, we're all gamers, so we're not going to release a game that we ourselves would not play in the first place.
Yeah.
So, and I think from them waiting, I have to say, I mean, out of all the MMOs I've played in or even just beta tested, they've probably had the smoothest launch out of any of them.
Yeah.
I mean, Anarchy Online was an absolute nightmare for the first year.
Yeah.
And I stuck with that game through the whole first year of all the problems and stuff. And now it's running good, but it was a nightmare. It just, every other day, a server's down, and a lot of other games, they come out, like I just read that the auto assault game is not going well.
Yeah, that's a foregone conclusion. That game's sucking it.
Yeah, they've already started consolidating servers and stuff, and I'm like, that's not good when the game hasn't even been out in like a year, and they're already starting to crunch servers down.
That means they're selling off the hardware. That's what that means. So what I'd actually be curious if we have any players or any listeners of the show who've played Auto Assault in any kind of meaningful way. I know you had the beta, but kind of gave up early.
Yeah, I played the beta, and I mean, it was fun, but it got old really fast. I mean, I could see Auto Assault doing well if it was using the Guild Wars model.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you buy the game and you're done, and then you just buy the expansions, because there really wasn't enough meat to the game to warrant a monthly fee.
Yeah. And the idea of taking a Twisted Metal kind of gameplay and applying a MMO model to it just seems stupid to me. But anyway, no offense to anyone who worked on that game, of course.
It probably would have worked well as a console MMO.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. It'd probably play really well that way. You know, a game that's actually doing fairly well on the 360 is that big mech game, and I can never remember the name of it. Oh, my gosh. Oh, Chrome Hounds.
Voltron?
You wish. It's doing really, really well, and I think the reason it's doing well is it fits well on that machine, and they've done some things where they don't have to pay any extra, but they've got this big, persistent online sort of player-versus-player thing happening. And it's a lot of fun. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think that kind of game should have been there. And good props to WoW for doing it right. The thing is, I always knew from day one, the day they announced WoW was going to be happening, that the Warcraft universe was about to become an MMO, I knew that they'd succeed. And I knew it because Blizzard never does anything without success in mind. They've never failed. And when they have, they trash the game.
That was that Superman game, I think, on the N64.
That wasn't them.
There's been two or three games that they made that you just had a feeling just weren't up to their level. And a lot of the rumor of the whole StarCraft Ghost game going in the toilet was it didn't live up to the level that Blizzard wanted, so they scrapped it.
Yeah, like, and I'm fine with this. I've got no problem with that. They did that with that. They did it with Warcraft Adventures back in the day, if anyone remembers
God,
that.
I remember that one.
Yeah, and it never came out. Why? Because it probably started to stink or it wasn't up to their standards, and they said, you know what, we're going to yank it. But, dude, I don't think they did the Superman for the N64. I think you're smoking crack. What the heck? I think you applied a really bad game to the wrong company. I'm not positive. Anyone knows, send us an email.
I'm pretty sure we've already got an email before about that was one of the games that they developed and it bombed.
Are you sure about... Okay, we'll check it out. He's fairly sure.
I'm sure we'll hear from our listeners.
Oh, no question.
Whether or not I'm correct about that. Yeah, but I'm pretty sure.
You'd swear they all had Deckard Cain living in their basement because we got so much feedback from people about who Deckard Cain was.
That was funny. When we didn't know the name of the guy from Diablo, it was like they just... poured in.
Yeah, dude.
It's Dean Cain's dad.
Oh, yeah. Dean Cain. Let's move on. We got, what else? Oh, tell us what Rather Brute sent along. This is pretty interesting about Risen, the guild over on the Deathwing A. This is pretty interesting because didn't this all get dissolved at one point and now things are coming back?
Remember a few shows back we talked about Atesh, the great staff that Medivh owns, the big fancy staff. It's a quest. You got to get like four parts and do all this stuff to assemble it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Over on the Deathwing server, the Guild Risen actually assembled all the parts and put the staff together.
Oh, I totally misread this. I thought they were breaking up and now they're back together. I thought it was just a guild story. This is actually
no, they actually
the staff.
Assembled this, the epic staff.
Oh.
The only thing is. You have the link I have in the show notes goes to the official WoW forum entry because so many people have been hitting their website. Their website's gone in the toilet. It's like crashed out.
That's great.
So you can get pictures. They've posted pictures of when they were, when their guild was together, doing some of the quests to get the items and then merging the items back together and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we want to give a grats out to them because they've got the staff put together.
That's pretty cool. And somebody is the guy who kind of made this all happen. His name was Failure. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, one of the guys that worked in the group.
That's awesome.
His name was Failure, and there's like an in joke because at one point he got a bunch of people killed and a bunch of newbies in the guild killed by accident because I guess when you assemble this, a certain amount of people get summoned.
Yeah.
To the next part of the quest, and he summoned with him a bunch of new players in the guild, and they all got, butchered.
Like first-level alts and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny, dude. With a name like Failure, though.
He'll be like, hi, I'm glad I joined your guild. Oh, my God! You know, when it's like some guy comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm actually going to say this phrase, but congratulations to Failure on your success. Oh, man. That's awesome. All right. Jinx, maker of fine apparel for games. I actually have a couple of shirts from these guys. They've just unveiled an array of stylish World of Warcraft clothing and accessories designed for both men and women. These high-quality shirts, hat shirts... Oh, I said shirts. Sweatshirts, stickers, and pins, and patches are now available for pre-order at jinx.com, J-I-N-X.com. You check these out? How do they look?
Yeah, a lot of them are really cool. They're done, there's like one Camp Najaro. It's done like it's a shirt you picked up at some wilderness camp and stuff like that with the coloring and everything.
That's
and
great.
They're working with actual Blizzard to design these too, so it's not just like, you know, a bunch of people designing themselves. They're working with Blizzard,
so this is a license. Cool. They're a licensed provider of WoW shirts.
Yep. And what's cool is one of the comments they make is all products are bind on equip and significantly increase reputation with other WoW players.
With all of the factions you hang out with, that's great. Very cool. In other news, Blizzard has posted an interesting roundup of backstory and lore surrounding the Burning Crusade, as well as the two new races at the official WoW site. The post is called The Burning Crusade, The Story So Far, and I guess we get some pretty detailed looks at least the lore of what's to be expected in the expansion.
Yeah, they basically, like, we've heard chunks about the Draenei and the Blood Elves and Outland, where they're explaining how they got paladins and how they you know, got shamans and stuff like that. Well, they basically have put it all together and kind of tied it all together to go, look, this is the whole time frame part. This is what happened and stuff like that. Instead of just a little pieces, you know, they've tied it all back together again.
Huh,
but,
cool.
I mean, granted, people are still going to be ticked.
Doesn't matter,
of the fact that they changed everything around and stuff.
But as we know, it makes no freaking difference. They're going to get crap either way. I mean, that's just the way it is.
You could give everyone what they want. You can go, okay, from now on, everyone gets a magic purple staff as soon as you log in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then they're one thing I didn't put in the show notes, a lot of people are ticked about, is there's a lot of low level, like level 19 players running around, tricked out with level 60 enchantments.
Yeah.
Like in the battlegrounds. And they're all ticked, and one of the Blizzard Blues made the comment, like, what do you expect us to do about it? They're playing the game the way they want to play,
right.
Which pissed off even more people because they're like, you know, shaking the finger, you're not doing anything about this. And you know, it's like, okay, if some guy, I mean, I agree, maybe enchantments should have a level requirement because truthfully, there's an engineer schematic that makes the parachute cloak.
Yeah.
Well, the parachute cloak engineer recipe, when you make it, it's a cloak that turns into a parachute, of course, and it gives it like 50 armor class or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, technically, you could be like some podunk. You know, as long as your engineering is at a certain level, you can wear that cloak. So that gives you an unfair advantage.
Yeah.
In a sense, you know, but I do agree. I've always thought that the enchantment should have, I mean, everything else has a level requirement, like potions and stuff like that, but enchantments don't.
Oh, that's interesting.
So you could be like level 12 and have this like level 40 enchantment put on your armor or put on one of your weapons.
Yeah.
So, I mean, granted, you're going to have people complain, but if they did that, it would probably fix some of the complaining, but also, the way the battlegrounds are going to be done when they revamp everything, it's actually going to take into effect your equipment and your enchantments and everything. So, like, you may be level 10, but if you've got armor that puts you on bar with a bunch of these level 40s, you're going to be stuck in with a bunch of level 40s.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well, we'll keep our eye on that, as always, as these new details come about before the expansion. All very good information. And by the way, I'm going to start reading some of the more interesting reviews we get on iTunes occasionally. This one, before we get to rumors and scuttlebutt, that is, there's a very interesting review we got very recently by somebody named Coyote. It's actually, the E is a 3. Very, very cute.
He's elite.
He only gave us 1 star. That's fine. Hey, whatever your opinion is cool. We still enjoy a very close to 5-star overall rating, and he is sandwiched between two of probably the best reviews we've ever had. So this doesn't really make me feel bad or anything, but he says this, which just cracks me up. This is a podcast by a couple of professional broadcasters who don't, a couple of professional podcasters who really don't know much about the game. Okay, that's funny for one reason. We're not professional anything. We're just a couple of hobos just got off the train to talk to people. I mean, honestly, that is about the funniest thing ever. So, hey, Coyote, keep it real, baby. Keep it real.
Anyway. Also, you want to tell them about our email. We got an email from a 12-year-old girl offended that Scott makes fun of gnomes.
Yeah, 12-year-old girl, my daughter's age, because I'm making fun of gnomes. She talks about how they get out of tight spaces real easy and stuff. And as far as I know, do they really? They don't really. They can't get out of tighter. Like, if they there's not like a rock they can get through that I can't get through with an orc, right? I mean, that's crap. that's such crap. Anyway, I'm not calling out the 12-year-old, trust me. Let's move on to some rumors and or scuttlebutt. I'm here to tell you, this is not me, this is a quote. I'm here to tell you that the expansion will be coming out at the end of November. I spoke to my friend and he said we had a meeting about the expansion ship date yesterday, his friend at Blizzard. And one of the guys suggested that this expansion should be pushed back till next year. Our boss just said, quote, no. So whoever said the expansion will be pushed back is full of boop. So... This comes from one of our insider people, and this sounds like a pretty solid expectation that November will be the time.
Well, and also a lot of the dates that are set now for like November for the release haven't fluctuated in the last like 2 months. And I was always expecting it to come out for Christmas, which would make sense.
Yeah.
Truthfully, it would seem stupid not to release it for a holiday release in the first place.
Yeah, it does seem odd.
Because that'll be like a big, that'll be on everyone's Christmas list that plays WoW. It'll be like, hey, give me the expansion.
Yeah, very weird.
The question I'm wondering, any of our Blizzard employees out there?
We have a few. There's a couple that listen. We know that.
Yep.
So come on,
and
guys.
I've gotten some emails about this asking me, and I'm curious myself, is there going to be a special edition?
Yeah.
Now, I have the big honkin' collector's edition of WoW. The one that was $80.
You are really into that. You always get these special editions, don't you?
Yeah, usually. If it's a game I really like, I go out and buy the special edition. Like, I did it for Prey because I wanted a book of artwork and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's going to be a collector's edition, no one has any information if there is, so I'm assuming there's not going to be because no one's listing one.
Yeah.
But if there is going to be a special edition, and if there's anything special in the box or whatever.
Figurines, DVDs, whatever.
I don't know, a key to the back door to Blizzard, you know, anything. Even if you just let us into your lunchroom,
That'd be so nice. I'd just sit there in awe and go,
at Blizzard.
Yep, you keep eating your bagels, we're just going to sit here quietly. We won't say a word. we don't know about that, but we'd like to know. So if anyone has any scuttlebutt on when the expansion is due out, we'd love to hear about it. As always, we have some calls to play, and then we have some emails to read. Let's jump to these calls real quick. The first one is something from Patrick, who actually provides us some tips now and again and has one later in the show. But he has a question about the theme to, I guess it's the cinematic. And I can't remember where this cinematic actually is, if it's actually in the install. I don't think it's the main cinematic. That you can play at the beginning, you know, that you play from the main menu. I could be totally wrong about this. I don't know where this showed up. But anyway, it's a question about the language being used in it, and I don't know the answer, so we're going to throw this to the fans. So check this out.
Hi, guys. This is Patrick, and I do not have any words of wisdom this week. Yeah, I know. Everyone in the world must be going, oh, too bad at this very moment. So I don't have any words of wisdom, but I do have a question, however. You know the intro movie, the one that goes... Well, I've been wondering what they're saying in that movie, and I know it's a pretty geeky thing to be wondering about, and it's probably an even geekier thing to actually go out and find out about, but if you're a big geek and you want to help out a small geek, then send it in. I'm sure a lot of listeners will be interested. Because, after all, what is the instance if not a big family of happy geeks, eh? Well, anyway, I hope someone has the answer. Bye.
All right, thanks for that question, Patrick. I actually believe it's probably going to turn out to be like... it just left my brain. What's it
called?
It's
Harry Potter language.
No, Latin. It's going to end up being Latin or something like that. It's going to be some basic Latin.
It's
phrase.
Latin the whole time they're singing. They're like $14.95 a month. You find out it's something.
The expansion something is $39. We're rich. No, you know, I'm guessing it's going to be something like that, but and you know what? I was incorrect. That is the opening thing, but for some reason, I just don't remember that language in it, but I guess I wasn't paying attention.
And Blizzard employees, the
calling
movie.
All Blizzard people.
Make it CG. You guys do it. CG always rocks.
Yeah, why not? Don't make live
don't
action.
Don't hire, like, Willem Dafoe to be a troll.
Dude,
although he would do
a
good
troll.
Job.
Yeah, he is a troll. Are you kidding? He's too old to play Gollum, but he'd have been fine in the role, is what I'm thinking.
Oh, they just shave him bald and couldn't send him out there.
We have an excellent tip, as always. This week we're going to shift it around a little bit and listen to Sean Basic first and then move to Randy Deluxe. Let's hear what Sean has to say about fishing, my favorite topic.
Good day, Instance listeners. This is Sean, and today I want to talk about one of Scott's favorite WoW pastimes, and that is fishing. Now, this is not necessarily a noob tip because it's for the higher levels, but you know what? Even a noob needs to grow up someday. This is about the Stranglethorn Vale Fishing Extravaganza, which takes place every Sunday at 2 p.m. server time in Stranglethorn Vale. Now, go to Stranglethorn Vale and look along the coast, except for Booty Bay, and you will find pools of tasty fish. If you are the first person to catch and turn in 40 tasty fish, you can choose from either the hook of the Master Angler, which turns you into a fish, or an Arcanite fishing pole, which gives you plus 35 to your fishing skills. In addition, you can also catch other kinds of rare fish, which you can redeem for other fat fishing loots. You can sell your tasty fish if you're not the winner, and you can get a few silver from that. Now, if you want to be part of the extravaganza, you need to have your fishing over 225. You can use lures if you need to, and it really helps to be above level 40 so you can avoid getting killed by the wandering monsters. Until next week, fish on, my friends.
Leroy Jenkins!
Okay, sorry. Hey, Sean, you truly are a nerd. A fishing nerd. We were just saying during the show what a nerd Sean is. But in a good way, the best way possible. And thanks so much, Sean Basic, for his continued contribution to the show. We hope it continues long into the future. And what would a show be without a follow-up from Randy Deluxe, the polar opposite of Sean Basic, with one of his fine tips. This one's a little less, not so much of a tip and more of a commentary, but it's still good. Check it out.
Hey guys, Randy Deluxe here, and I want to take a minute to extol the virtues of good guilds in World of Warcraft. I'll start by giving a shout out to my guild on Frostwolf, Elemental Paradox. You're doing well, my friends. Now, here is what a lot of players I encounter don't understand yet. World of Warcraft is a great game to play alone. You can level, play different classes, have pets, professions. There are hundreds of hours of things to do by yourself in the spirit of solo fun. But the reason that WoW is the most played MMO in the history of games is simple. Good players make good guilds. Not everyone out there are jerks who just want to kill your buzz. In fact, the vast majority of them are nice folks, and if you get together and behave civilized, you can do great things. It's easy for a group of people to degenerate to the level of the lowest minded among them. But my tip for you is this. Seek out and find the truly good guilds. The ones that have a real sense of community and a spirit of camaraderie. Look carefully at their rules and their expectations for members, and if they match up with your style of play and availability, join up with them. Don't miss the opportunity to be a part of something fun. With millions of players out there, the chance that there is a guild that is perfect for you is, well, a certainty. Teamwork.
Okay, once again, Randy boggles our minds with great information and wonderful commentary. However, what is with the Back to the Future theme there? Seriously.
I was going to say, run for it, Marty.
Run for it, Marty. The clock tower. Save the clock tower. That's all I could think of, dude. Where's my flux capacitor? Oh, that's right here. Dude, that was the weirdest throwback. That was just weird. But that was awesome. And Andrew was actually commenting during while we were talking, while this clip was playing, about the fact he knows somebody who says, you know what, I would pay double the money if I could play on a server where everybody had to be over the age of 20, which is actually not a horrible idea. However, you could never prove anybody's over anything any more than you could say every chick character in the game is actually a real chick. You can't. There's no way to do it.
I mean, you could be like, so you're 20. Yes, I am.
I sure am, mister.
Yeah, so it's like there's no way they could check all that.
Yeah, I need to hurry up and finish this instance because I have to go to school. I mean, to my accounting job. It's full. They're full. People are full of crap. That's just the way it is. Patrick weighs in this week with a mod of the week, and this is an excellent one. Check it out.
Hi, everyone. I'm Patrick, and my mod for the week is called Book of Crafts. What it does is that when you mouse over a recipe, it will tell you which one of your characters can use it, if any one of your characters can use it. I find this comes really handy when one of my guys is doing shopping for all the other ones, because I can never remember which one has like 217 in tailoring and which one has 172 in... I can't even remember what the damn professions are, so I really need that mod. It's called Book of Crafts, and it's pretty good. Have fun.
Okay, so Book of Crap. Everyone write that down. Oh, Crafts. Sorry. Not Book of Crap. Here
this
we have
book stinks.
The semi-hard stool. Next page.
That's
the great
so
Book of Crap.
Oh, this is the Taco Bell era right here.
Oh, man. Ouchie. All right, well, let's move on. Now, we have something to tell people. We are no longer going to be doing guild pimping now before you freak out and send us emails. We've gotten a lot of feedback from a lot of listeners and some other people that are really involved with the game and a few other people besides them who all think that that segment is a little redundant. Like, it's not awesome and it kind of slows the show down. So here's what we're going to do. And we've actually talked about this for a long time. We're just going to finally put it into action. If you want to pimp your guild, you can do it one of two ways. You can send us an audio file slash call.
Build a hot air balloon.
You can call the WoW phone, which is 206-202-3-WOW. Or you can send us an audio file to theinstance@gmail.com. And we will play them at the end of the show, along with some of the other audio that we like to play at the end of the show and other calls and stuff. Or you can register at theinstance.net on the message boards, on the forums. And there is a sticky thread in there for pimping your guild. Those are your two best ways to do it. We are no longer going to feature it as a middle of the show type.
Well, it's kind of also it's gotten out of hand email wise.
Yeah,
it's like we can only do so many in each show, and it's like if we get 30 emails to pimp different guilds, and we only say use 5, that's another chunk that we just get rid of
that we couldn't
get to.
I don't
carry them over. Because otherwise we would never catch up.
Yeah, and this way you guys can be heard be read on the boards by doing it the other way, and you'll get pretty much heard every time. Now, if I start getting 50 million phone calls that are nothing but guild pimpage, we'll have the same problem. I'll have to dump some and keep the good ones and the short ones and that kind of stuff. So it's a tender line we walk. I don't even know what that means, but it's
we're dumping the guild pimping, but we're gonna start actual pimping.
Yeah, we're gonna do actual pimping. All right, so on this corner of 42nd and 3rd, I'm just kidding. Bring me back my money. Anyway, where are we? Oh, so instead we're gonna start reading more of your emails that deal with actual stuff. We got an email from Jim Moreno. And that's what he says. Jim Marino here. I only found the instance a few weeks ago, but since then I've listened to every podcast and joined your website. I spread the word of your grooviness to my WoW playing friends. I'm one of those hardcore role-playing dudes, having grown up in the age of D&D and various other MUDs. My main characters are an undead warlock named Hordlock on the new Venture Company server. He also has a rogue and some other stuff. When I'm not in WoW, you'll find me roaming the lands of Cyrodiil... in Oblivion. I never say it right. It's in Oblivion, but I don't say it right even when I play Oblivion. Or performing my day job as feature writer and game reviewer for the Armchair General Military History website. That's at armchairgeneral.com. That was just kind of a cool email, and it's good to hear that we're getting such a diverse audience. And thanks a lot for that, Jim Marino.
And the next one we got that was really cool.
Not the Jim Marino that was quarterback for the Dolphins. Just want to make that clear.
No, that was Dan
Marino.
His career, you knew, was an all-time low when he was on Ace Ventura.
Yeah, so. I know this has nothing to do with WoW. But the other day, I saw Dan Marino doing a commercial for that Slim Fast. Not Jenny Craig. It's one of those weight loss things where you order like all the food and it costs you hundreds of bucks a week. Whatever it was. He looks like all emaciated and undead. Also, so there's the connection to WoW. He's all skinny and undead looking. There. I've done it.
The next one we got was from Mark. Longtime listener, first time emailer. I've been deployed to Iraq since November of last year and should be coming home soon, hopefully. There are a few of us here that are all serious WoW players and are looking forward to coming home and playing some WoW along with the new expansion pack. But to be honest with you, I'm pretty intimidated with the changes in the game. Any advice for WoW gamers coming home after a lengthy hiatus? Also, since I'll be starting over basically from scratch, I'm wondering if there's any place for a few of us to join a guild. PFC Watson.
Yeah, Mark Watson.
U.S. Army. He goes, I appreciate the show and I look forward to downloading it every week. It's the best way for me to feel connected to the game still.
You know what's cool is when he put U.S. Army, he put dash woot after it, which is just awesome. It's like, hey, it's the Army. Woot! Anyway, that cracked me up. Let's move on to our drop of the week. We have a few things here. First of all, we got another message from someone who said, thanks so much for the kind words you gave my creepy doll video last week.
That's Spiff.
Yeah, Spiff
from last week.
He's the man. He does a lot of cool stuff using Jonathan Colton music. And this time he did one for Skull Crusher Mountain. We'll have a link in the show notes. You guys will want to absolutely check it out.
I downloaded it and watched it. It's hilarious. Yeah. I mean, not Jonathan Colton's music is cool anyway, but the way Spiff does the videos, he does such a great job.
Yeah, and Spiff, if you're listening, if you're listening, and I'm sure you are, I have a connection to Jonathan Colton through a colleague of mine. If you are interested in getting more exposure with him or maybe collaborating in some way, let me know, and I'll try to get you in touch because your work is great. I'm sure he's seen some of this stuff, and he may have already talked to you. I don't know, but if he hasn't, I would love to love to hook you guys up, so let me know. Jacob says, on another note, I'd like to send out a shout-out to a website called albatrossbits.com. Not easy to say or spell. While I'm not officially connected to it, I'd like to bring it to your attention. It is perhaps, as pathetic as it sounds, a fanfic site. In other words, fan fiction. However, there's more than that. The author, who goes by the name of Albatross, has written an immense story that is currently above novel length and growing. He's intending to write a three-part book series. I'm not, however, alone in my fandom of his site. So have you actually gone and read any of this? Is it any good?
I've been reading some of his stuff. It's the Lonely Murloc story that's been posted on the official forums. Even some of the moderators, like Cadium and some of the other ones, have featured his chapter sections in the community spotlight section on the WoW website. It's huge. It's like a huge epic novel, and it's all set in World of Warcraft, and it's very well written.
Huh. Well, people have to go check it out. We will, of course, have it in the show notes. It's an easy address, though. albatrossbits.com/murloc.php. Go check it out. I'm going to have to check it out. I haven't done anything with it, so I do want to check it out. What does Dawi have to say?
He basically goes, hey, Scott and Andrew, I would be so grateful if you could read this out on your fantastic podcast.
Fantastic.
So, yeah. He goes, please, please do, or I'll set a Jawa on you if you don't.
Yeah, that's a joke toward you, I think. You and your Jawa fetish.
Anyway. He goes, I'm just writing to let you know of a new player-arranged reoccurring event. It's called the Mulgore Lottery. It plays like any normal lottery, except it's in WoW, of course. You can go to the website, themulgorelottery.blogspot.com. Hey, it's on the same place my blog is that you rag on. You can find out a heap of other information like where, when, and who, and how. So go and check it out. Thanks for listening.
I have a big question about that, though. So I understand it's a lottery. It works like a real lottery. I want to know how it works like that. I mean,
you buy like a ticket and they randomly. It's like you buy the ticket and you.
Who are you giving cash to?
I think
to,
it's
though?
Like somebody, one silver, one of the guild guys.
Oh, okay.
It's a pyramid scheme.
That's awesome.
Oh, they're selling you. Oh, wait, they show up and they're like, have you thought about selling Hamway?
That's all a big scam, dude. No, I'm sure this is totally legit. I'd be curious to see how they do it. So one guy collects it all, acts as the treasury. They have the drawing. The lottery winner gets the money from the guy. I guess I could see it working like that. Very interesting. I've mentioned it on the show many times before. I love when players create their own mini games in this thing. I just think that is totally, totally cool. We got an open letter to the proprietors of the instance. That would be us.
Proprietors, like it's a little shop.
Well, we're professional podcasters, as you know. I know that on several of your past shows, you've reviewed some. I never say this right. Machine enema.
Oh, machine enema. Sometimes when my car acts up, I have to give it a machine enema.
There's nothing we like more than reviewing machine enemas. I never say that right. But anyway, movies made from video games. There, I've said it. I would like to bring to your attention one that I've seen, and I'm quite looking forward to being to the next part of it. It's called Tales of the Past. It's an excellent series. Why all the films are really good, the amount of effort that the production team put into this really shows. I'm sure you'll agree if you watch it, and it's huge. It's on an epic scale, and I want to see it. Have you seen this yet? I have not seen it.
I've downloaded it, but I have not watched it yet.
Now, look at us talking about how awesome it is on the show, and neither of us have seen it.
Well, the thing is a lot of the anime, a lot of the machine animas that are created are absolutely amazing. You would think some of the people that create these would be approached by Blizzard to make like movie sequences in some of the games and stuff like that.
These guys are good, man. There's some really good scripted stuff.
What they do with the engine is amazing.
Now, I wonder if this is part of that series where, maybe it isn't, but the humans kind of narrating it, and he goes back to this place he hasn't been for a while before his city was destroyed, and he goes back and he's realizes the place has been ransacked.
That's Planet of the Apes. I don't know if you know this, but
you call them damn dirty apes. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was you damn dirty orcs. No,
someone will know what I'm talking about. I can't remember.
I know which one you're talking about.
And he gets his group of famous mages and famous whoever's back together again to fight off the horde, and it's really well done.
Now you're talking about Lord of the Rings. You know, you're all over the place tonight, Scott.
I can't think straight. Just as good, and that's probably good because this is good enough time as any to end the stinking show. We have gotten to the end of another instance. This has been Instance 33, and as usual, if you want to be part of the show, go to theinstance.net and check out the blog, check out the message boards, join our Frapper map, hang out there all you want. If you want to get a hold of us by phone, you can leave us a message. We'll probably play here at 206-202-3-WOW. And as always, you can email us, theinstance@gmail.com. Andrew, I guess I'll see you on show 34. Actually, I'll see you a lot
sooner
than that.
Yes, I will see you because I have to answer the 15 million emails we get.
That's right.
Every show.
We're probably getting some now before we've even put the thing up, complaining about the pimping. So, yo, G.
That's almost
pimp daddy.
You know, Scott, there's certain things you should just not utter at all.
That was one.
Say.
That was one of them.
That's high on the list. That's high on the list.
All right, everybody. We'll see you on show number 34, and we'll see you next week.
See you.
Hey, the instance. This is Zella, and I heard a rumor that in Burning Crusade, Warlocks will get another summon at level 70. And my guess would have to be it'd be like a Dreadlord from Warcraft 3 or such. Anyway, later.
Hello, Andrew and Scott. This is Casper from Denmark. Yes, that's right. The friendly ghost that wrote you in the last episode of The Instance. Well, I'm here to tell you about a pet I saw today while playing WoW called the Disgusting Oozling. It's a little slime pet you can get from the slimes in Western Plaguelands and Fellwood. What this pet does is that it decreases your defense and all of your resistances by 20. And I would say that's a pretty bad thing, but apparently people are going crazy for this little slime thing, and they're willing to pay 400 to 500 gold on the auction house for it. So, if you've got several hours to wait just grinding slime mobs, go to Western Plaguelands or Fellwood and hope you get lucky for this little sucker. That's it for me. Bye.
Hi, Instance. This is Ichuda Troll Tanks from the Pond People on Whisperwind server. I ran across something on the general forums the other day that was posted, and then it was yanked down after one blue post said that they had no idea what they were talking about. Somebody had found a picture on the Blizzard forums, evidently, that had said that there was going to be a blood-red unicorn as the Blood Elf mount, not the cockatrice like the rumors had suggested. If anybody would know about this, I figure that you guys would. I'm sure you've gotten tons of email about this from people wanting to know, so you got your finger on the pulse like that. Let's find out what this is all about. And if I'm wrong, well, shoot, I blame Bill. Thanks.
Hey, guys. This is Grace. I'm a 43 rogue on the Thunderhorn PvE server. And I figured since we hear so many stories about all the jerks that inhabit the channels and the servers in general, that I'd share a story of something really kind of heartwarming that happened to me 2 or 3 days ago in a rocky basin, of all places. I decided at level 43 that it would be a good time to start doing PvP. The problem was I didn't have my mount yet. And I was the only person in my PvP group that didn't have my mount. So I took a lot of hell in the raid channel for that. And finally, one of my teammates came up to me and said, you know, hey, why don't you have your mount yet? And I explained to him that I only needed about 10 more gold and I should have it in a few days. And before I know it, he's opening up his trade window and he gave me over 10 gold and said, go get your mount, knock yourself out. I couldn't believe it. So I went and I got my Mechano Strider in this case, and I came back and I was rocking. So I just thought that that was a really amazing thing that you don't see too often. I thought you might get a kick out of that. Keep up the great work. Love the show. Take care.
Hey, what up, Andrew and Scott? What's going on? It's Devil Striker over at the Cargath server, and I'd like to get my guild pimped. The name of the guild is Angels of the Dragon. Yes, once again, that's Angels of the Dragon. We currently have 112 members and are looking for more 60s so that we can start raiding in-house raid.
Hey, Scott and Andrew, this is Josie of Josie and the Big Cats from Argent Dawn, and I'm calling about show 30. You said you couldn't remember who the guy was standing by the fire in Diablo 2, which should be really embarrassing because it's the namesake of your guild. So, thought I'd share. See you.
Hey, Scott and Andrew, you got an excellent show, guys, in 32 episodes. Keep up the good work. I'd like to get my guild pimped today. Angel Dragon on the Cargath server. We currently have 112 members and are looking to grow, currently accepting 45 to 60s. The classes we need are any healer class, caster class. So won't you be my angel today? By the way, this is Devil Striker. Keep on rocking in Azeroth.
Hello, Scott and Andrew. This is Racing Gear from the Altar of Storm server. I have a new tip that I haven't heard anyone mention yet. It's simple, but still good. Okay, first choose your horde, because Alliance suck. Anyways, do your main starting quest in your area. Now go to your second city for Cows, Bloodhoof, Undead, Brill, Orcs and Trolls go to Sinjin Village. What I do, though, is mix it up a bit. I've done all those quests for the Orcs, Trolls, and the Undead. Try this if you're a cow. And yes, it's a long run, but run to the starting area for the Orcs and Trolls, the Valley of Trials. Don't forget to stop at the major cities and checkpoints, Thunderbluff, Camp T, Crossroads, and Ogamar to get your flight path. You'll use them later. Same goes for Orcs and Trolls. Run to the cow starting area, grab your flight path, and do the starting quest there. If you're undead, what I did was as soon as I was done with the starting area, I ran to the Zeppelin near the undead city and flew to Orgrimmar, then ran to the Orc Troll starting area and did those quests. Undead quests are kind of boring, so I went there instead. That's about it, so you should get leveled mid to high teens. Yeah, some quests won't be available when you get there because you'll be too high, but you'll breeze through the ones that are still available. And you'll get some money for gear and experience points on the way. And valuable flight path. See you, Scott and Andrew. Excellent podcast. P.S. When I get my mount, I'll share my secret tip on farming.
The Tripod Network. What's on?